We've been working our way through the Ten Commandments gradually since January. We're already in June. Can you believe that? Wow, where's this year going? It's flying past. Pretty much halfway there. So the next 6 months in the life of the church, we start planning Christmas. So get ready for that. We'll be recruiting for orchestras and all sorts of things soon. But before we think about that, we're going to focus back to the next in our series. We're looking at the fifth commandment, which is all about honour. And it got me wondering, what really is honour? How do we honour one another in society? In honour of the royal wedding, the Canadian Mint Society or fund or whatever have produced 20,000 silver coins with the couple on the front. So if you're in Canada, maybe you're going to pick up one of these. I'm not sure. That's one way that we honour those that we see in position of influence and responsibility. They received, or the fund, the foundation that Prince Harry is being connected to, received a generous gift from the Canadian Mint side, saying, "We are honoured to receive this donation from at Canadian Mint in commemoration of the release of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding coin, and are so appreciative of Prince Harry's devoted service to promoting the importance of mental health." Just one example amongst many of how groups and people recognise and show honour and feel honoured to receive things in society. That's maybe one way we talk about honour. Another way, more tragically speaking, over recent days and weeks, there's been various references back to the Grenfell Tower. Here, the Grenfell Tower mural honours victims with words from powerful Ben Okri poem. "You saw it in the tears of those who survived." So we honour individuals' lives that have been lost through these tragic circumstances as well. But as well as these great occasions in society, as well as these difficult, tragic moments where maybe we would display honour, where we remember, we give respect, we kind of see honour happening in the everyday smaller things as well. And as we come to this fifth commandment this morning, we're going to look at what on the surface is an everyday thing, but actually is a huge topic. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment says, "Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And so far, the commandments have been working their way out from our relating to God, how we love God. And this one here on the fifth takes a bit of a shift, because now the centre is not loving God through a direct sense of having no other gods, but instead loving family, loving your parents, honouring your father and your mother. And then the following few move towards society and how we honour society. So we're going to focus on this. What does this mean for us today? How do we honour our parents? And what is the wider implication for us as a church, for us as individuals? What does honouring mean? So honour, the first word in that commandment. We've got the World Cup coming up. I'm quite excited. I don't know if anyone saw the England friendly last night, managing to beat Nigeria. That was a relief, because if you win a friendly or two, you've got a little bit more confidence. Certain teams have an honour going into, are honoured as they go into a tournament, aren't they? Germany, the previous winners. England don't tend to carry too much honour with their football team, or cricket team, or other teams generally. But certain teams do, and they don't kind of ask for it and grab it. It's given to them based on their position, maybe in world rankings. It's something that's based on their status. Brazil are honoured because of the style of football. Germany, because of their ability to win tournaments. England, less so in this area. But we play with honour, we hope. But what does biblical honour really look like? What does it really mean? And as I've been looking at this word through the Bible, we see that it's kind of connected to the giving glory, giving respect, or giving a weight of something to somebody else, to God, to people, to parents. It's not about taking it. It's something that you're given. So it can't be grabbed, and you can't say, I'm going to receive honour. You can't push yourself forward. It doesn't work like that. It's something that is given. And so we're going to think a bit about what this looks like for this command. And it seems to be related to giving respect or awe or recognition of worth due to two things, position and character. And I think this has been helpful for me as I've thought about it. So on the one hand, we give respect or honour to someone because of their position, their status. Maybe the royals, or maybe not for some of you, but the royals or the leaders of our country. Maybe other leaders within your work setting or your school setting, within your family, parents. We give honour due to position that has been given by God to these individuals, responsibility. But it's also based on character. And maybe for many of us as we think about this command, actually this is really hard. It's really difficult because whilst possibly your parents or yourself as a parent, if that's your situation at the moment, are in a position of authority. You have been given responsibility over others. But actually, maybe as you look to your own family setting, you think, well, the character of the parents you have in mind, or even yourself, you feel like it's failure. It's not met up to what it should be. It's very hard to give honour to your parents, respect, because of the way that they have been. And so we give respect as we honour others due to position and due to character. And if we get a great character, it's easier to give honour in our thoughts, in our words and in our actions than if we simply are to give honour to a head teacher, for example, who has that position and should be honoured and respected, but really we don't get along with because of the style of leadership. Or whoever else it might be. And so as we think about this, we're going to explore this commandment, we're going to look at a few other bits of the Bible as well. I want us to keep in mind how we relate to God, and that being a guide for us as we then think about relating to individuals, our parents or our other circumstances. So God's position of honour, he's our sovereign creator, isn't he? He's in authority. He has a position, a status that should receive honour. Respect, glory, awe, because of creating not only ourselves but the universe, being sovereign over, all-knowing, all-powerful. He is in a position of honour. But he's also a God of character of honour because he's our loving Father. He has revealed himself to be, it says in a few verses in the Bible as well, like a caring mother, a nursing mother, a loving Father, a caring mother, one who is indeed revealed as the perfect parent, loving, caring, compassionate, not slow to discipline, but to do so in love. And as we see God in this commandment, maybe that will help us as we think about what it looks like to honour our parents. But you might think, well, who do we need to honour? My circumstances don't really fit with this. Maybe you don't have parents that are alive anymore. Maybe that isn't where you're at in life. Maybe you've got a very difficult circumstances where your parents aren't believers in God. Maybe they are. Maybe they've separated and you don't have a good relationship with your parents anymore. Maybe you don't have them. You have foster parents. Our world is complex. It's not straightforward. And so I want to say at the start that this command is relevant for everyone, not just for parents of children. This is about family. This is about not just biological family, but church family. Jesus says, doesn't he? Who is my mother and my sister and my brothers? Is it not all those that follow me? So Jesus unpicks some of this and broadens family out beyond biology, beyond legalities, and says, no, we're family, children of God with a heavenly Father. But as we think, it can be very hard, can't it, to honour our parents. Unfortunately, I've a great relationship with my parents at the moment, I say. Well, yeah, I do have a great relationship. I hope that continues. But I know for many that that isn't the case. How can you honour your parents when they've abused their position, their status, their responsibility before God, before you? When they haven't acted in character that is right and proper and caring and loving, but instead maybe you feel hate, frustration, hurt. There is a background of of brokenness in your relationship. That's hard. That's difficult. Maybe you've lost your parents and you miss them deeply and you don't understand how and if and what it looks like to ever kind of cope with life without your parents currently here. And so just at the start, I want to say this is a sensitive matter. This is tough. We can't cover everything. But we're just going to look at how Jesus and how we can seek to grow in this commandment as we work through it. So how can I honour my parents? Well, if it means kind of treatment of respect and related to trusting and obeying them as a child, maybe, that's all very well. But most of us here aren't children. Most of us are adults. So what sort of shift happens when we move out of home, when we develop our own family settings or our own relationship as an adult with our parents? How does that work? As well as a treatment with respect for those that have parents that are still in contact with them. And there's also the treatment during old age of care, a provision for them. And this seems to be the general kind of message through the Bible that we pick up, that there is this respect because of the position that God has given parents, but also of trust because of their character. Now, for those of you that have got Christian parents, if you're a Christian here this morning and you respect them, that's maybe a little bit more straightforward, isn't it? That's a little bit easier to trust and follow their ways. But it's possibly a little bit more tricky if you view the world very differently to your parents, if they don't follow Jesus, if they don't submit to what the Bible says. Or if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, why is God so bothered about relationship with parents? What is really the point? I think one of the things that we see is the priority that God gives to this relationship. He places it right after the commands about loving God. And he says, this is how you love one another. First of all, the relationship with your parents and your children matters. Families matter. And actually, to the extent that the mistreatment of this relationship and of this command brings great dishonor, great judgment in the Old Testament, we see against it. We see that in chapter 21 of Exodus, and how for those that abuse or mistreat and curse their parents will be judged, and actually with the death penalty. This is serious. This is something of such importance. This is a few verses from Proverbs help us to see how we can see the priority of this in the Bible. Chapter 1 verse 8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 15, a fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. And chapter 19:26, whoever robs their father and drives out their mother is a child who brings shame and disgrace. The wisdom of the Bible says this relationship matters. It really does. And yet maybe you've got an experience where you relate to some of this a bit. Maybe a rebellious child, or maybe you were that rebellious child. Maybe a broken relationship with a parent, a lack of taking of advice and of instruction from your parent. How did Jesus fulfill this? Before we kind of jump to how can we even begin to fulfill this? What did Jesus model in his life? So honor, we've thought about what that means. It says honor your father and mother. Now this is the general norm. Obviously there's lots of different settings, stepfathers and stepmothers, maybe foster situations, adoptive situations. But for the whole, we'll look at Jesus' situation. Now, there's not much in the New Testament about Jesus' legal father, Joseph. There's more about Mary. We see a number of references. And one of the indications of them together with Mary and Joseph is in Luke chapter 2. And what we see is Jesus being obedient to God and his parents. He decides to stay in Jerusalem at the temple longer than his parents probably had planned. And he stays there and they lose him, and they go back to try and find Jesus. And Jesus says, and his mother says, why did you treat us like this? And Jesus says, don't you know that I need to be in my father's house? Jesus is prioritizing his relationship with God, his father, prioritizing learning and teaching and praying. But then he says, it says in Luke's account, that he submitted to his parents, he was obedient to them, and returned to Nazareth. So Jesus here is being obedient to God, his loving God, but also loving his parents in how he followed their encouragement. Just keep that in mind. But how else? We see him caring for his mother. So not just being obedient, but also caring, proactively concerned for her. We see that at the wedding in Cana when Jesus turned water into wine because his mother was involved in this wedding in some way. We're not totally sure how, but she brought the problem to Jesus, said, "We've got a problem. The wine's running out." And then Jesus, in his first sign in the book of John, his first miracle, turns water into wine. He helps his mother in her point of need. He helps the couple that are being married. He is caring for his mother. And then at the cross, at the end of John's gospel, we also see this caring concern as he looks to his mother, who's mourning at this crucifixion of her son. And he says, "Behold, mother." And then looks at the disciple whom he loved, John, and says, "This is your mother." He's pointing to John and saying, "John, look after my mother. Care for her, provide for her." Jesus models care. He models obedience and honor to his father and mother. And yet, we might look at that and go, "Yeah, but Mary was a great mother. My parents weren't anything like that. He had it easy." Well, there's a challenge for us. But before I move on to how we can, we see that Jesus is honored by his father because of who he was. Jesus isn't just another man with another father and mother. He is God's son. He is divine. He is fully God and fully man. And in John 5, we read of how he is honored by his father because of his identity. This is what it says. "Moreover, the father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the son, that all may honor the son just as they honor the father. Whoever does not honor the son does not honor the father who sent him." See, God gives Jesus honor because of who he is. And because of that honor, he is showing it through his work on the cross, but also in the truth that he will save and bring hope to all those broken relationships where maybe we struggle to honor our parents. He is the one to be honored. So how does that work for us? If we know honoring is important, our parents, our father and mother, how should we fulfill this? We've thought a bit about how Jesus does, but how should we? And I'll give an illustration of washing a car. Hands up if you've washed a car recently. Only one person. Well done, Ollie, you've got a new car. A few others, there we go. When you wash your car, you don't just wash one door and window and leave the rest dirty. I washed mine a few weeks ago, and I was surprised at how dirty it was. Until you start washing it, you don't realize how dirty it is. At least I didn't. And so I washed the door and the window, and it looked great. But in contrast, the rest looked really dirty. I moved on to the next section. And I obviously started with the top. I didn't start with the door. And I covered the whole car. And in a sense, as we think about this command, it's a bit like that. We don't just focus on honoring our parents, our father and mother, and that's it. We don't just wash one section of the car, we wash all of it. And we're going to see that actually this commandment has an impact for all our relationships. We honor our father and mother, but we also honor one another within the church family, regardless of whether we have parents or not, or whether we are within a family setting like that. Regardless of that, we also honor one another. And that's Jesus' teaching. So we're going to see where we get that from. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about this and says, "Children, obey your parents and honor them." So we have obedience for children and honor for parents. That's the way it's meant to be. Now, where relationships are great is because the status, the position of honor by parents is done well through their godly character. Where that's done badly is an abuse of that position and a sin that gets in the way of loving your children rightly, which makes it hard for children to obey, which makes it hard for them to honor their parents. But where this is done, there is real blessing. And this particular passage refers back to the commandment, and it unpacks it further for us. It says, this was the first commandment given with a blessing. The blessing that you will live long in the land. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so where the family unit is working well, that's great. But so often that's a challenge. We know that because of the reality of sin in our hearts. The second way that we can fulfill this commandment is by helping our aging parents. And in Timothy 4, what we see here is the next layer of this command. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So suddenly, the next part of the car is washed. Not only does this matter for your physical family, this also has an impact on your aging parents. Treatment of respect, but more than that, care and provision. Honor to those who are aging. I had the opportunity to research a bit of hearing aids for my mum recently. She's out in Zambia and she just wanted to check the prices out there and how they matched with over here. It's the first kind of real help of my aging parents that I've done. It was quite an interesting experience, kind of giving advice on hearing aids. I don't know much about hearing aids. Maybe I should come and talk to some here. Either way, suddenly it dawned on me, this is a new way of honouring my parents. It's not anymore just doing the washing up at home when I was asked to. It's not only kind of staying in touch and seeking to build and maintain a good, healthy relationship with my parents. It's to honour them by caring practically. And then the next part of the car is washed, as it were. Because for some here, maybe your family setting, maybe your parents aren't here anymore. They've passed away. Maybe you don't live near your children, or you don't have any children. Maybe that's your circumstance. And as Jesus said, actually, who is your mother, your brother, your sister? The family of God, the church. How do we honor our father and mother? Well, that can also happen in community, in church community. Paul mentored Timothy. He wasn't his father, but he was like a father. In his letters, he says, son. He talks in different parts of the Bible about how the younger people of faith, children, can grow. And this is a great opportunity for church to be family, to mentor one another, to see one another as family, brothers and sisters, but parent-type figures. Those older Christians amongst us, you've got an opportunity to speak into the lives of the younger generation. Please take hold of that. Younger generation, we need to listen well to those who have experienced life, who have got spiritual wisdom and can be fatherly, motherly, grandparent type figures in our life. And actually, what else does the Bible say? Well, in Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to love one another, honor one another above yourselves. So we wash the whole car. We see that we can honour our father and mother. We must do that in a way that works for us. But more than that, we can also honour all in our relationships as a church family. Honour means loving action, not just words. Jesus specifically referred to the failure of this commandment by the Pharisees. He challenged the Jewish leaders and said that they had twisted the command. In Mark's gospel, as well as in Matthew's, we read about this and how the Pharisees were adding to the Bible, and they added this kind of use of saving money to care for the elderly. And they said, use that money and make it korban, which means devoted to God. And if it's devoted to God, really it should go into the temple, because we want to see the temple funds met. We want to make sure that we still are cared for in our profession as Pharisees. And what they were doing is they were twisting the commandment, and instead people were being encouraged to neglect the elderly parents within society. Jesus says, no, honor means loving action, not just words, not lip service. Don't say you believe this command and then do something like that. Let's say that we honor our aging parents. Let's say that we honor one another by our actions, by our care and concern, by our actions that make a difference and have an impact. There's great conversations going on at the moment in Barton about how we can kind of invest or put back on the agenda how we care for those lonely and elderly in our community, how we can do that well. And in the past, it's something that's happened at Barton, and one of our interns is going to run with a new project to help this happen. But this is really important. How do we honour our father and mother? By seeing what that looks like in practice in Barton Church, in our life groups, in our relationships with one another. It's a real priority. I read a great quote on this by someone called Alan Cole, who's a theologian and Bible commentator. He says, "Those who build a society in which old age has an honored place may with confidence expect to enjoy that place themselves one day." Isn't that true? As we build a society that honors the elderly, the great benefit is one day we'll enjoy that, hopefully too, one day as well. How sad it is that too often being old is painted as something to avoid and flee from and try to kind of put the brakes on the wrinkles and the grey hair and the problems that come with that, where youth and children are elevated highly, but almost people pursue youthfulness at the expense of seeing the wisdom and blessing of maturity. Maybe we as a church need to lead the way in changing that and saying, no, true religion is this, to care for the widow and the orphan. Yes, to care for the child, but also the elderly. The final part of the commandment says this: so honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. See, there's a benefit, an impact that as Moses was relaying these commandments to the people of Israel, for them specifically, that it may go well with you. And throughout the Old Testament, particularly in Deuteronomy, Moses, in his kind of address back to the people of Israel, says this repeatedly, that it may go well with you. So if you keep these commands, it will be good for you. There will be a blessing. There will be a benefit. This is so important. And this is one of the commandments that has this spelt out very clearly, that it may go well with you. And for them, that meant having God's kind of blessing on their conquest in Canaan. It meant seeing the fruit of the land grow and physically be a blessing to them. So having a great garden, having long age, having peace on your borders. That's what it meant for the people of Israel. Now, for us, we don't expect the same things because we're not the people of Israel. We're God's people, his people that have faith in Jesus. For us, the blessing is God's presence, his grace and favor in our lives, not the physical prosperity and long life necessarily, but instead the spiritual blessings of knowing we're forgiven, knowing we have his spirit, knowing that we've got the forgiveness of sins, that we can be a part of a family and community. These are the blessings that come with following these commands. That one day we'll have our own land, heaven, where we will be able to glorify and honour God, our Saviour. That's the benefit, the blessing. But on top of that, and we shouldn't underplay this, families are essential. Church family, biological families, legal families, call it what you will. They are the building blocks for community and society. And as Christians, we need to keep preserving that and praying for one another and supporting families and parenting through whatever means that we can. So let's be a church that makes a difference like that. So as we finish, how can I honor my parents this week? Well, the first question you need to answer is, who are my parents? And how can I show them honor because of their position? Yes. Can I show them honor because of their character? Well, maybe that's hard because they've not lived up to what they should have done. How can you this week? Well, the starting point, I think, is repenting of how we've broken this command, how we've maybe failed, partly because of our own inability to honor and respect and revere and love our parents. Maybe it starts with saying, sorry, God, I've got this area wrong. And then by praying and seeking to reconcile that relationship wherever possible. And I'm very aware that for some, this might be too hard. This might be impossible, humanly speaking. But think and pray. Can you reconcile? Can you build a stronger relationship with your parent today? And if you don't have parents anymore, can you be a parent-type figure to others and encourage those who are younger in how to build more positive relationships with their current parents? It's a bit like GDPR compliance, right? You don't want to do it, but you kind of have to. It's kind of there, you know it's good for you, it's right to follow this, but actually it's hard work. Getting serious about damaged relationships is hard. And on one level, you can only deal with your side of it. A bit like with the GDPR stuff. You can only sort out your own organization, your own systems. If you don't go hunting for the checks, but if you sort out your heart before God, your attitude towards those that are parents or parent-type figures, that is the starting point of honoring your father and mother. And then pray that God would help those relationships to move forward. And so as we repent, as we reconcile, as we kind of grow in this loving attitude and actions, we see how this begins to help us to honor God. You see, all the commandments are kind of summed up in love God and love one another, aren't they? So this commandment, honor your father and mother, well, it's about loving God and loving others. This relationship can uniquely help you to also honor God. It's almost like the training ground for honoring God. Growing up in a family setting, enabling you to learn what it means to submit, what it means to trust, what it means to love and obey, what it looks like to do that in practice. And so as we finish, if we're seeking to honor God by honoring our parents, just remember that starting point. It's only possible because we've got a perfect father. Maybe you've got broken relationship with your parent figure. Actually, we all had broken relationship with God that only was restored through Jesus being sent to die. One full of honor in character and position, becoming an object of shame, becoming dishonored on that cross. And yet, rising again in glory and honor, the one now whom we give our honor and praise to, and come to have a relationship with a perfect Father. Yes, we're all failures in this, but God is the God of restoration and restores us. And so if we think about what this looks like in practice, please keep in mind God's position of honor. He is the sovereign creator. He's the one that is given honor to your father and mother. He is the one who is full of honor because of his love and perfect fatherly compassion. I'm going to pray now and pray that we would love God by loving our parents or those within our life that are more parent type figures, that we could pray for those that are hurting in this area. And I'm very aware that this is hard for many. Please receive prayer afterwards or during this worship response if you need to. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. That even though we have messed up in these family relationships, even though we have kind of covered ourselves in shame, that you pull us from that place and you give us honor because as we put our faith in Jesus, you put us into a new family, one based on grace and forgiveness and restoration. I pray that you'd help us to work out this commandment this week, to reflect and repent where we need to reconcile, if at all we can, with these earthly relationships that we have, to trust and obey and follow and care for those elderly parents or people within our community. Lord God, help us to honor you as we seek to obey this commandment today. And I just pray for those that are hurting right now. Reveal your compassion, your grace. Remind them of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.